south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. I get a lot of emails from people wondering about sex, love, dating, mating, etc., etc., when it comes to gringos and latinas and gringas and latinos. And of course, I'm no Spanish Ann Landers. That would be, I guess, Ana Landres. But since there's so much interest, I have to hit on the topic once in a while now, don't I? So today we won't be talking about all the good and fine things that can happen with those relationships because, well, those happy unions just aren't as interesting or attention-grabbing as the bad and the ugly. So without further ado, let's talk about some of the bad and the ugly when gringos and Latinos hook up. So they say it's for better or for worse, and today we'll talk about the worse. Now, from what I can see, and I can bear this out with a lot of facts, the big problem starts, and we'll talk about gringo guys here first, is when guys first get down and they're single, they're lonely, and they're looking for love and romance. The problem is, 90% of the time anyway, they're looking for a girl that speaks English. Why? Because when these guys come down, their Spanish sucks, and they almost always end up on or near the gringo tourist trail. So because of the language barrier and the culture shock, most times they're absolutely drawn to a Latin girl that speaks some English. And for some guys, that could be a psychological lifesaver in the short run. But in the long run, many of these relationships, perhaps most of them, do not turn out well. The fact is, with pretty much all of the relationships between gringos and gringas and Latinos, surprisingly enough, the ones that seem to work out the best is when the Latin person in the relationship, at first, speaks little or no English. Because you see, there's little chance then that they've been contaminated with first world media, propaganda, and bad habits. Like you are. Now, of course, down the line, you'll pick up some Spanish, probably a lot of it, and your other half will pick up a lot of English. But I'm talking about at the beginning of the relationship now. So here's a tip. If you want to start out with one foot in a hole, start dating locals who speak English that you've met in discos or gringo bars. And to reinforce that argument a little bit, today I'm going to tell you three true stories involving dating and mating relationships in three different Latin countries involving gringo friends of mine. Let's start out in Costa Rica. Some years ago, a nice Canadian guy came down, wanted to open a bar, but he didn't know a lick of Spanish. So the first few months he was down, he started checking out the bar scene around San Jose, Costa Rica, near the Central Park where all the action was. Where suddenly, by the way, at nightfall, you'll see a whole lot of young, good-looking Costa Rican ladies who are actually part-time hookers. Nearly all of them looking young and fresh because they have regular day jobs, too, at Dairy Queen, banks, lawyers' offices, malls, etc. So in the evenings, you'll see them meandering in and out of hotels and gringo bars as if they were regular customers. Most of them quite toned down without the hard look and extra makeup that usually signify hooker. So yes, they're very good at hiding what their real objective is. Step one, get a fresh green gringo to buy him a drink. By the way, there's big sex tourism business going in San Jose, Costa Rica, but you knew that already, right? And it's very big in Panama and Colombia too. In fact, there are many internet sites in English devoted to shipping down charter planes full of so-called lonely heart gringos, with actual guided tours showing them the ropes. But back to my friend the Canadian. Now, as for me, I played in a few American-style rock and blues bands that have toured various countries in Latin America. Nothing big time, but every Latin country has its gringo tourist spots, you know, Cancun, Playa del Carmen, Acapulco, to name a few when you're talking about Mexico. A lot of gringo beach bars on the Colombian coast, especially around Cartagena. Then you have Panama City, Panama, plenty of places for American rock bands to play. Plenty of gringos and gringo wannabes there. Everybody's looking to hear gringo music done the right way, you know. Sure, there are a lot of Latin rock and roll bands that sound absolutely fantastic, but you don't want to hear classic rock. Stuff like Satisfaction, Born in the USA, House of the Rising Sun, or Hey Jude with a bad Spanish accent. Now, Latin gringo wannabes totally accept that. They don't know the words anyway. However, that just does not go down well with gringos. So, If you have a decent rock and roll band with a real gringo singer that can belt it out, man, you can do well here in Latin America. Just hitting all the gringo spots, the gringo bars along the beach strips and such. And even off the gringo tourist trail, a band like that can do quite well because, you know, there are just so many gringo wannabes. So again, if you have a decent rock band and a good gringo singer with no accent, there are plenty of places to play, including all the venues in big first world hotels on and off the gringo tourist trail. You know, the Hyatt, the Clarion, Radisson, Intercontinental. They all have live music entertainment, and they really love gringo rock bands. After all, those hotels are filled with upscale Latin gringo wannabes and the occasional gringo visitors for conventions and do-gooder events and such. Anyway, not so long ago, when my band was doing quite a bit of touring up and down the Caribbean and Atlantic coast of mostly Central America, one of our most fun and favorite places to play was the Beetle Bar in San Jose, Costa Rica. Talk about the gringo advantage. That was the perfect name for a bar. Though there are many other names and themes that could wring the crap out of the gringo advantage, let me tell you. I mean, you could call a bar Jaggers and have a Rolling Stones theme. That'd work. Or how about Floyd's and have a Pink Floyd theme bar? Or maybe call it Floyd's and have barber chairs. You know, like Floyd the Barber on Andy Griffith. But back to the Beetle Bar. After playing there so often, in time I got to know the owner quite well. In fact, he was their main bartender. So when we have an evening gig, we'd come in the afternoon to set the equipment up. Very few people in during the afternoon. It was a kind of a nighttime bar. And I'd sit down at the bar and he'd start telling me his troubles. And when he first mentioned he had troubles, I thought, what kind of troubles could this guy have? He's living in the perfect weather, Altiplano. He's got a great business going. Nice house, beach house, a late model SUV and a pickup, a nice looking young Latin girlfriend. I mean, to most guys up in the first row, that would be the definition of success. And one day he said to me, Johnny, you know, I'm not really happy here. I'd almost rather go back to Canada. I said, what? And you've got all this? He said, no, Johnny, you don't understand. I'd have none of this. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, a few years back when I first came down from Canada looking to open a bar, unfortunately, I didn't know Spanish from crap. And I did the rounds of the hotel bars and gringo bars, and I really did want to open up a place nearby the Central Park. I was checking out storefronts and such, but I wasn't getting anywhere. And because my Spanish sucked, he said, I'd knock on doors, try to find the owners, make a deal and such, but I just couldn't get anywhere. And he said, even when I did find an owner or two and tried to talk about doing a lease, they said I had to have a Costa Rican co-signer. And not just any old Costa Rican, had to be a Costa Rican of some means, you know, good credit and all that, and I didn't know anybody. So then he said, one day he was at one of the typical gringo bars where all the young girls come up to you and such. Those girls of a certain type all know just about enough English, of course. So eventually he got to telling his story to one of those ladies. She said, well, maybe I can help. There was a lawyer in her family. And, you know, as things go, after a while, my gringo friend and the Latina became a couple. Not married, but a couple. And, you know, when he was telling me that story, he said he fell for one of the stupidest ploys, his biggest mistake. He believed a piece of disinformation that so many gringos still believe. They believe that in order to have a business in a Latin country or maybe any foreign country, they have to have a local partner. And, you know, that well-founded rumor comes from the fact there are a few Latin countries that make you do that, one specifically, Cuba. By the way, another persistent rumor I hear all the time is that foreigners, meaning gringos, us, can't own beachfront property, unless, of course, they are residents or, in some cases, passport-holding nationals. That's completely wrong in most cases, too. The fact is, in most Latin countries, when you have beachfront property, you buy a 50 or 100-year lease from the government, which is automatically renewable when the time comes up for something like $25 to $100. So that's the rule, whether you're a gringo or a passport-holding national. By the way, in those rare cases where a country won't let a foreigner, i.e. a gringo, buy property or beachfront property, all you have to do is get yourself an SA corporation. We've spoken a lot about that on this show. And the corporation will buy it for you. And since you own the corporation, you own the land. Of course, your lawyer will work that out for you. Anyway, my Canadian friend in San Jose, Costa Rica, fell for the old ploy that so many gringos fall for, thinking if they're going to have a business, they're required to have a local Latin partner. And he believed it because that's what his new English-speaking Latina girlfriend told him. Then he blamed himself and said, "You know, as Canadians, we trust everyone, at least at first. By the way, this friend of mine's an introvert, not really the life of the party, you know." So he admitted he was always a bit stiff around people and didn't make friends easily. However, there are always those ever-friendly Costa Rican girls who are always hanging around gringo joints, especially within that 3 to 6 block radius of San Jose's Central Park. And like I said before, when you see these young ladies, they look like secretaries working at Costco or Walmart or counter girls at Starbucks. Now, that's not to say all of them are part-time hookers, because it is a business district too, so there are nice young ladies working regular jobs too, but they generally don't hang out in gringo bars. Why? Because on their salaries, they just couldn't afford to eat or drink there. However, part-time hookers know if they hook up with just a few gringos a month, they'll make more money than they make in an entire month on their day job. And since they're not in that business full-time, they don't look hard and washed out like ladies in that profession tend to be. And that explains why so many stupid, lovelorn gringos meet these girls, fall for them, and actually get married and bring them back to the States, too. And a love-struck gringo usually doesn't have a clue. He of the pot belly and thinning hair, and she of high heels and perfectly manicured fingernails. Yep, you see a lot of that down here on the gringo tourist trail, but almost never where there are no gringos. Yep, where there's no gringos, there are no English-speaking, gringo-seeking, gold-digging Latinas. Why would there be? But even so, as in the past I've mentioned, all medium and large-size Latin cities, even when they're well off the gringo tourist trail, have a few scattered expat bars, usually in and around the hotel districts, where gringos might occasionally be flying in and staying for business or do-gooder events and such. Those are places where homesick gringos will go to meet up with other gringos, to reminisce and tell war stories, basically old home week. And naturally, there'll always be a few Latinas hanging around who speak English, waiting, of course, for a fresh green gringo to walk in and buy a young lady a drink. Hey, nothing wrong with that. That's the singles life day in and day out throughout the world. However, it seems when you're a fish out of water, an expat gringo in Latin America who doesn't know any Spanish, unfortunately, in many cases, you are the fish and they are the bait. So in the end, my nice introverted Canadian friend signed the paperwork to go into legal partnership with his new girlfriend using her suggested lawyer, etc. Of course, she was handling all that convoluted Spanish paperwork too, don't you know? I've heard that one before. And after a few years, the business was really cranking. In fact, so well, he was able to buy a beach house and lots of other goodies. However, he told me after a year or two, things were not well on the home front. As Canadians are wont to do, he wanted to end the relationship in a friendly, amicable way, pay her off, make sure everyone was happy. That was when he found out he didn't own anything. Somehow, the paperwork was all in her name. Like he said to me, he found out he was just a passenger on this big luxury ship, and if he ever broke up with her or she tossed him aside for another guy, she'd have everything and he'd have to start from scratch. So last time I saw him, he was none too happy, standing behind a bar he created that wasn't his, and crying in a beer that wasn't his either. Again, his big mistake, and he told me in no uncertain terms, was that he ended up bonding with a person he met in a bar whose English was good, a person he put way too much trust in, simply because he felt, now that he met her, things would be easy. He didn't have to learn any Spanish. What a team. He could put the bar together and she could do all that confusing Spanish paperwork stuff. Such a deal, huh? All right, let's move on. Then there's my gringo friend who has a whitewater rafting and kayaking business. Now, he didn't get into that business for 3 or 4 years after he landed in Panama. He spent the first couple of years in Panama City, hanging around the gringo bars, going to the beaches, playing around, gambling, you know, they have a lot of casinos there, having the time of his life, going out with beautiful young Panamanian ladies, all of whom spoke English because, same old story, he didn't speak a lick of Spanish. And when you hang around the gringified business and party districts, those are the kind of people you're going to run into. Then one day after he'd been going out with this beautiful Panamanian girl about 4 or 5 months, she sprung it on him. She was pregnant. And he being a British gringo, I guess they're gringos, huh? Kinda. He did the manly thing, he says, and offered to pay for an abortion. Which in Latin America is an extreme insult to a woman because it's so Christian, mostly Catholic down here. And abortion is a permanent scarlet letter and the instant path to hell, so they think. And it really doesn't matter how prim and proper a Latin girl is, or if she's the worst kind of party girl from the wrong side of the tracks, abortion's a taboo subject, and there are virtually no abortion clinics in Latin America at all. All you really have to do is keep your eyes open, and you can see 12 and 13-year-old girls that are pregnant here. Still, no abortions. They just have the kids, and they're absorbed into the family without a problem. And the bad talk and ridicule, well, of course, there's some of that during the pregnancy, but after the kid's born, it's the miracle of life and all that, and everyone's happy. Really difficult to believe, but that's true. In fact, I've seen Latin dads get really pissed off when their young teenage daughters get pregnant, but the minute after the kid's born, especially if it's a son, being that it's a macho society, all is forgiven. Anyway, after my British gringo buddy in Panama discovered that his girlfriend was pregnant, when he casually mentioned the A word, she rejected it outright and they got in a big fight. Oddly enough, about 3 weeks later, she completely changed her mind. She told him it would have to be really on the quiet and that she was going to do it in Costa Rica. She had a friend there who'd put her up for a while. So she went to Costa Rica. He didn't go because he had a financial services job at a big bank. So he gave her $5,000. Remember, Costa Rica has a border with Panama, so it's quite easy to get through. Anyway, after that month, she just simply dropped off the radar. Then another month, 2 months, and finally 3 months went by. He got transferred back to England for a couple of months. Next thing you know, he gets an email from her saying she's going to stay in Costa Rica now. She basically sent him a Dear John letter and broke it off with him. And he really wasn't too unhappy about that because, well, like he told me so many times, she was more a party girl, liked to dance and drink and, well, suspected, in fact knew she had other guys on the side. At first he said it was a lot of fun, but it got pretty old after a while. In fact, he said before the pregnancy thing, he was thinking of ways to break it off with her. So anyway, problem solved. Or so he thought. Anyway, as life goes on, 5 or 6 years passed. He hadn't heard a word from her. In fact, it totally was out of his mind. He's married now, has a new life. Still in Panama, working at a big British finance company. I think it was Barclays. Suddenly, he's sitting in his office. There's a knock on the door. A little motorcycle delivery guy hands him a package. He has to sign for it. It's a subpoena to go to court. Turns out his naughty partying ex never had the abortion. She had the kid, spent the 5 G's, had a great time. The partying, it seemed, was even better in Costa Rica. Dropped off the radar until she decided she needed money again. Located him back in Panama. Filed a lawsuit for back child support, plus damages and whatever else she could get out of him, by saying he recently threatened and assaulted her, even though he hadn't seen her in 6 whole years. And since, remember now, this guy was on the books, working for a British company, making first world money, practically, therefore the family judge awarded her first world support payments. Kinda. I think he told me it was around $200 or $300 a month for the kid till age 18. Anyway, in the end, he said that long drawn out process wore him out. He ended up quitting his job at the bank because he had in his mind all the time to start this whitewater kayaking business, which he did. Mostly, he said, because he could run the company off the books. It was pretty much a low-stress, all-cash business. So he left the big city, Panama City, and moved to the boonies where the whitewater rafting thing is, ever paying that 200-something bucks a month for child support, which, believe me, his new wife is not happy about. But the story doesn't end there. One day, about 2 years later, he had some whitewater rafting clients, and in the group was a girl he recognized as a friend of his ex. She walked up to him and said that she'd like to speak to him in private. They sat down in his office, and she proceeded to tell him how sorry she was for all the crap that went down, saying she didn't see his ex any longer because she just wasn't a good friend. And then she dropped a bombshell and told him that wasn't even his kid. And she even named the guy who was the father. Now, at that point, my buddy phoned up his lawyer instantly. His lawyer says, doesn't matter. You already paid part of the settlement and are paying child support. In the eyes of the court, you're the daddy. You admitted it in a deposition. Doesn't matter how many blood tests or DNA samples you give. You admitted it in court 8 years ago. She was yours and you'd support her till she was 18. Now, if you think that's a good story, listen to this one. A friend of mine meets a beautiful young Latin girl in a first world hotel in Guatemala City. She and a bunch of other young ladies are working a modeling job, handing out beer and liquor samples at some kind of hotel garden party. Remember, like I said, it's a first world hotel. This gringo friend of mine, again, speaks no Spanish. This young lady, who's serving him free beers, speaks pretty good English. Now, before I get into this story, I'd like to tell you what I tell all gringos who come down here, especially ones coming down to live, work, play, or retire off the gringo tourist trail. Ones that are looking for love and romance on a stable, permanent basis. My advice, don't go looking for a soulmate at first world hotels, bars, or discos, because those places are mostly self-selecting for a certain kind of often gold-digging girl looking to snag a gringo. I mean, come on, why else would they be hanging there? Oh, and by the way, all first world hotels have a first world clone sports bar or U.S. theme bar or karaoke club where all the guests end up hanging out at night, and that's a perfect hangout for Latin girls who speak English looking to hook up with a gringo or other first world foreigner. Of course, let me emphasize, they're not all like that, especially the Latin worker bees who are running the place behind the scenes, like the cooks and the waitresses and stuff, the ones that don't speak English. Just know that the chances are any nice young Latin girl you're going to meet in an upscale first world hotel district or whatever, well, you just have to ask yourself, why are they hanging out in a place where the drinks are $3, $4, and $5 a hit, where they could be at a much less expensive bar or disco back in their own neighborhood? Not to mention, Latins just love to dance. And definitely, back in the neighborhood clubs, they can find better music and infinitely better dancing partners than gringos. So ponder that one for a while. Anyway, my gringo buddy hooked up with this girl. By the way, by day, she was going to one of those socialistic, basically free public university and was a dyed-in-the-wool, vastly undereducated socialist. Aren't they all? And my friend, of course, a total capitalist. That should have been his first red flag, but he didn't notice. And with his help, she was failing a few classes, she graduated with a completely useless liberal arts degree. And of course, when she graduated, she couldn't or didn't want to get a job. Of course, he supported her gringo style, which was light years above the level she was living before. But the real problem was, it turns out she had a real evil streak. And the last straw was when he discovered she'd hatched a plot to screw over members of her own family. Turns out her dad had a couple of small businesses and some property and some houses, but he also had a second family that he never told anyone about. You heard me mention on previous shows that a lot of Latin guys, married guys, will juggle girlfriends and in some cases, entire multiple households. And this guy, having a couple of businesses and was a landlord and stuff, had enough money to do that and get away with it for a long, long time. Until somehow the whole thing fell apart and now this guy has two families to support and they both hate each other. So my friend's girlfriend, whose dad was getting old and kind of fragile and later on bedridden, she secretly had a will and testament drawn up that completely cut out her half-brothers and sisters from the other family. Now, this guy couldn't read and write, so it was easy. She had him sign his mark, telling him it was some tax forms he had to sign for his business. Then she had that testament registered with the municipality, so that when he died, she and her half of the family would get everything. And guess what? My gringo friend was witness to all that. He was right there when she explained the whole plot. However, his Spanish sucked back then. But he really knew this woman was twisted and how much hate she had inside of her when she got pissed off at other people. He was thinking, she's an obsessed and crazy woman, and he needed to get out. So he told her it was over. He didn't love her and all that. Tried to cushion the blow by giving her some cash, a late model car, all the furniture and stuff she could load on a moving truck. That was supposed to be the end of it. Oh, by the way, she was forever trying to push him into marriage. He said no way. He'd been through that before. Didn't turn out so well. But still, she persisted on a daily basis. Drove him nuts, he said. So she was gone, or so he thought. Apparently, she squandered her dough. She had enough to last a couple of years at least, and a new car and all that. Well, she resurfaced a couple years later, demanding more money from him. And when that didn't work, she just decided to harass him. She then filed a lawsuit saying that he harassed and assaulted her, even though he hadn't seen her in 3 years. So he had to hire a lawyer himself, who got a restraining order slapped on her. Then, get this, she filed a suit against the lawyer saying that he harassed and assaulted her. And that went nowhere. Then another year or so went by, and she did exactly the same thing. This time, filing suits in another nearby jurisdiction, because in the first jurisdiction, they weren't going to have any of her antics. Because, you see, In court, she started screaming like a banshee, going off the deep end and yelling at the judge, making a fool out of herself and embarrassing her own lawyer. So again, nothing came of it. Then a year later or so, she did it again. And finally, my friend said to his lawyer, look, she's completely wacko. She's gone through a bunch of lawyers. She's just making a fool and a pest out of herself. And he said, well, look, we can go down to the municipality, file a criminal fraud claim against her for falsifying the will and the signature of her dad. He said, you know, if we do that, she's going to jail for a long time. And then he said, well, subpoena the other members of her family, the ones that got cut out of the will. And when she gets out of jail, they'll run her out of the country. Or worse. So my friend said the plans are in motion for that already. All she has to do is start up with her antics again. By the way, I remember her name now because it's an easy one. She has two identical last names, Gonzalez-Gonzalez, meaning her dad was a Gonzalez and her mother was a Gonzalez. Maybe that's why all the insanity, huh? So there you have it, three stories of three gringos who got dragged through the ringer simply because they fell into that age-old trap of getting involved with an English-speaking Latina they met at a gringo hangout. Now, I know that's not going to happen with every case, but do beware. When you meet young ladies like that, especially on the Gringo Tourist Trail, it's often a self-selecting sample of slightly tainted ladies with many personality defects. Beware. Now, as for the other side of the coin, first world gringas hooking up with Latin guys, well, those are slightly different circumstances. I always advise first world ladies looking for love, romance, and all that to set their sights on professional Latin guys. Now, there are a lot of good-looking Antonio Banderas types, and although not all are gold diggers, every last one of them does have a secret dream to hook up with a gringa. So ladies, look out. It's a big mistake to hook up with your Antonio Banderas if he's not from the upper classes. If not, there's a good chance you'll end up supporting him. So yes, there are some success stories with gringas hooking up with upper class Latin guys. But gringas who've told me it can work say it's never easy. Just remember, you will get a macho mama's boy whose two biggest pursuits are sports and infidelity. Oh, and just one more thing. The American gringa is almost always quite a bit smarter, more worldly, and better educated than the Latin guy she hooks up with. So your Latin guy can have more degrees than a thermometer, no matter. An educated gringa brought up in the first world can just run circles around these guys. Oh, and ladies, do be on your guard. These guys are expert liars. How do you think they can juggle so many affairs at one time? Oh, by the way, upscale Latin guys have been pampered and coddled so much all their lives that you can't expect them to be able to change a light bulb or even take their plate off the table, much less wash a dish.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.